Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Now, this is cool. An anonymous customer left a $16,000 tip on a couple of chili dogs, fried pickle chips, and drinks at a New Hampshire restaurant.
What a cheap ass. I mean, that's not even 20% for something like that, right?
You're right. I know. I don't know why they're giving this person a videos and everything, but
it's shame
owner.
Him.
I know. Here's the owner talking about what happened.
It was on the credit card statement. They put it down next to the register. And he said for three times, don't spend it all in one place. That's what made her flip it over and look. And she's like, oh, my God, are you serious? And he's like, I want you to have it. You guys work hard. He just said that they deserve it. They work very hard.
You work very hard.
Hard in the card.
Yeah, man.
That guy.
Oh, yeah. So good to hear that that accent again. It's fading away in from what I understand in Massachusetts because so many people are moving in from other places. And so, you know, hearing that old school accent like that is nice, man.
I wonder if that's like a catch saying. Like, I used to get that all the time from family members. They'd give you like a $5 for your birthday. Hey, don't spend it all in one place. I'm like, F you. Like, what am I going to spend? I can't even spend it in one place. Like, do you not understand what things cost these days? Like,
yeah.
It's always like the running joke. But so here's this guy.
Yeah.
Like, here's your tip. Don't spend it all in one place. So I wonder if they had that same mentality. Like, oh, here we go. Cheap ass giving me like $5. And then you're looking at $16,000.
You're right, Steve. Because usually it was always a very, very small amount that people would joke. Don't spend it all in one place. Because it's nothing.
Oh, like my grandma would always be giving me like a dollar. And be like, hey, don't go buy yourself some ice cream with this. I'm like, I could get like a spoon of ice cream.
Grandma, have you seen what Ben and Jerry's cost? Come on.
It's like, have you not checked the prices on the damn ice cream truck? The cheapest thing is $1.50 and it's a stupid popsicle.
That's right, kid. That means
yeah,
you have
$2 to get that damn strawberry shortcake, Grandma.
Yeah, well, which grandma was this, though? The one that saw you?
Yes. Busted,
maybe, that's why she only gave you a dollar. She's like, here you go, kid.
Well, fine. That's any chance for you to bring up the fact that I got busted playing
things.
Fun times by myself.
Playing with your popsicle. That's why she'll never give you enough for a full popsicle.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that is, I mean, $16,000 tip on a couple of chili dogs, fried pickles. That's pretty amazing.
Vicky, do you remember, like, the most, because you, of all of us, I think you're, like, I know, Danny, you did, like, the Jamba Juice type of thing. I was a busboy.
Yeah.
Rev, I don't know if they tipped in security.
No, they did not.
But do you remember like the biggest tip that you received? Because Vicky, you were, and maybe Sarah can join us because obviously she was a waitress.
Good idea.
As well.
I feel like it was around the time I was like 18 or 19, my first waitressing job, and we were literally like 5 minutes about to close.
Uh-huh.
And my boss had this rule like, if we're not closed yet, like people
you
can come in.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of bogus, but okay. So we had a big party of like 6 to 8 people show up. 5 minutes before closing, and they were there for like an hour or two, and I think their bill came out to like maybe between $100 and $150, and I got $80.
That's nice.
For a $150 check. I'm like, okay, that was probably the biggest percentage-wise. But, I mean, I've also had big, big tables and parties before, and they've given me 20%, which is equaled out to more. But percentage-wise, that was the best, and I'm glad I stayed.
Do you think they had in the back of their mind, like, okay, we're keeping this person late, but we really want to eat, so we'll make sure we take care of them?
Yeah, I think that's what it was, because I was just dragging. So I think I worked a double that day, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, I'm a little tired, a little out of it. Sorry, like, I messed up a drink order or something, and they're super understanding, super cool. So I did not mind.
Thanks, yeah, that's pretty sweet. I'm glad that they did that, because sometimes people don't realize the situation, like getting in just before they close and not knowing that people would, you know, that means they got to stay so much later if you get there right at closing.
Dude, if it's like 30 minutes before closing, my wife will not step foot in the place, because she worked as a barista, so she used to hate when someone would show up at like 6:59 and have like a, she already cleaned all the machines, and she's like, okay, granted, we close at 7. But, you know, then they order something elaborate, and you're like, oh, great, now I got to re-clean everything.
That was Dairy Queen every summer.
See, I remember one time we went to an ice cream place, and it's like 30 minutes before closing. She's like, we can't go in there. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, it's closing in 30 minutes. I don't want to have this person have to clean. I'm like, oh, I'm just getting a scoop of vanilla. Like, they could clean a spoon. You know, I'm already, you know, like, it was that custard place in Bonnie Lake. I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah, like, see, then I would say you should close a half hour earlier than you really want to. You know what I mean? Honestly, I think they should put closing time earlier for that. Because that's, I know what she's saying, but that's frustrating for me, thinking, oh, I still got this amount of time to go get what I want.
I want my ice cream, damn it.
I mean, it makes sense. But and I never had a problem with like one or two people showing up, because at that point you could keep one ice cream machine open for like the one or two people. But during the summer in Albuquerque, New Mexico, when it's 107 degrees outside, we would have a line out the from the drive-thru down the street. There was probably 50 cars in at 8 o'clock at night. And you had to serve all of them. Like, you had no choice. And one ice cream machine won't cut it, because it would turn to milk by that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
And see, at that point, I'm like, if I show up to Dairy Queen and there's a line down the street, I'm leaving. Like, I you know what? Like, that point, I feel sorry for the employees. And I'm going to tip them, even though we couldn't accept tips.
Yeah, that's also lame, too, that you can't tip people at a fast food place. That's dumb to me.
Well, I worked at, like, that Ames place, which was on the East Coast, kind of like a Walmart or a Target, like, you know, department store type place. And I remember, like, we would have to, like, bring up, like, sometimes you'd help someone bring something to their car, like a TV or something really heavy. And they would always, you know, our company was just like, you do not accept tips. You do not accept tips. And I tried that the first couple times. But after a while, I was like, this is bull crap, man. I'm, like, lugging this thing into this person's car, and they want to give me some money. So I'd always be like, they're like, hey, can I tip you? I'm like, oh, they say I can't accept tips. Like, oh, come on. I'm like, all right, don't tell anyone. Like,
nice.
And then I'm like, $25 every one time for putting a TV in someone's car.
Damn, that's fantastic. Nice.
I know. That made my whole summer. Yeah, I got so much weed for that, man.
Oh, well, I hadn't thought. If they'd only know. Right. So we're talking about, of course, this anonymous person that gave $16,000 to a New Hampshire store. Really, for like just, you know, a couple of chili dogs and fried pickles. $16,000 on that bill. And Sarah's here. And Sarah, how about you? What was the biggest tip you ever got?
Percentage-wise, it has to be these two old dudes that came in. And one of them was pretty annoying and obnoxious. But, you know, I had my server smile on. And their bill was like $60. And they tipped me $20 on the receipt. And I was like, okay, that's actually really nice. Thank you. And then the one who it wasn't the nicest came up to me and shook my hand and then gave me a $100 bill.
Oh, he slid it into your hand.
Yes. It was kind of like a drug deal. I was like, oh, why are you shaking my hand? Like, and then I was like, oh, I get why you're shaking my hand.
Did he say, hey, I'm just a miserable human being, but I feel like, hey, I owe you this?
He said, thanks for dealing with me. So I think he kind of knew.
Wow.
Somebody told him he was being a douche.
Yes, exactly. Probably his friend. He was like, cut it out.
Or do you think it's a personality trait that he has, that he knows that he can't control being a douche, but he feels bad about it, and he has enough money, so he can
why are you looking at me when you say that, Steve?
Because I was hoping you'd chime in and say, yes, that's exactly what I do.
I'm sorry, but I don't have any knowledge of these kind of things.
Don't you usually tip servers ahead of time because you know how much of a pain you're going
to
be?
I have. You know what? I have done that. I want them to know that, you know, we're a weird group, and right off the bat, I go, look, I remember one person didn't like that when I gave her money ahead of time. She was like, you don't have to do this. I said, well, I mean, I don't have to do this. You're a server, and I want to, you know, and I want you to know while you're dealing with our dumbasses that you're being taken care of. Because, I mean, Vicky, you know, and Sarah, isn't it like you wonder, like, oh, these a-holes, and you don't know what you're going to get from them, right? Isn't it nice to know up front that, oh, all right, at least they appreciate me as they're being whatever they're being, or just a big group.
Especially when it's a big tip, I think that's pretty awesome. So I wouldn't mind. I never had anybody do that for me, but like I do love it though when they do give you the tip in their hand. Like that's such a baller move when you do the pretty slide.
Do you think they're doing that hoping that you won't share it with the other coworkers? Because like you know, like if you put it on the table, people might like the busboy picks it up. Do you think that like here's that we tipped you already on the table, so you already got the tip that you share with your coworkers, but here's the extra $100.
Oh, that's interesting. Would you? Yeah. How did you keep that for yourself, Sarah?
Well, he did it actually right in front of my boss.
Oh,
so,
stupid
but,
guy.
But it actually felt kind of nice because my boss was like, "Oh, wow, okay, you must have did something right. Like you must be really good at your job." And I'm like, "That's right, $100 richer."
And I don't think anybody does that for the server. They do it to feel like a baller.
Yeah.
You really do it for yourself.
My dad would do that. Like, he's a difficult person at a restaurant. I know it sounds like a shock, but like, he's like, he goes out of his mind with napkins and this and that. But like, he always does tip really well. And after it's done, he will not leave it at the table, though. He needs to find the waiter or the waitress and walk up to him and personally hand them the money and thank them.
Yeah, there's something personal about it, but you're right, Steve. It's definitely, I feel awkward. It's like, I don't want them to think I'm trying to buy them. So I don't like to do it like, so, you know, it's, but I've learned it like, you know, it's like, if I'm going to give it ahead of time, I better do it. But I've always felt so awkward about it.
There have been times where I'm at a restaurant, and I'm just like, I'm sorry for my father, but he's going to tip you nicely. Like, just, I'm sorry. Like, I mean, it's been, I'll never forget the time we went back to New York with my now wife. One of the first places we went to go eat was at a Chinese food restaurant in New York, and I was so pumped because, like, just Chinese food in New York is on a whole other level.
Oh,
it's so good, right?
Yeah.
And we sit down, and my dad, like, it's like he's like, he already knew this waiter, and they already have beef.
And, oh, no.
And, like, they get, like, my dad's already, like, you're going to give us enough of these, like, free, like, noodle chip things, like, and dipping sauce. And the guy starts yelling at my dad, and my dad's like, hey, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, a new waiter comes over. I'm like, well, where'd our other waiter go? He goes, he upset him so much he needed to leave for the night.
Oh, and I'm like, no.
Wow. You upset somebody so much that they decided to just call it a night. Like, that's bad.
Wow. Over, like, noodles and sauce, which, by the way, those fried noodles and that sweet sauce they give you, it is. I'm with your father, though. I better get enough of those.
Delicious, but man, oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the moment we walked in, they're yelling at each other. And I'm like, sorry, babe. Like, this is my dad. Like, this is what he does.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome.
And God forbid if they said that you go to a restaurant and they're like, oh, it'll be a 10-minute wait. If we hit 10 minutes and 30 seconds, you see the steam is coming out of my father's ears. And it's just like the anxiety that I'm now dealing with because I'm just like, oh my gosh, we are like moments away from a meltdown. Can they please just call our name? Even though in my head, like if someone says, oh, we're going to sit you in 10 minutes, to me that could be 5 minutes or 35 minutes. You just don't know because it's all based on people who are sitting at that table.
Yeah, you're right. I used to be like your father, but your logic does make sense. It's like I've got to expand the window, or because I'm blowing my own top. I mean, it's my own health and my own blood pressure I'm ruining, as well, of course, as maybe some other people's lives. But yeah, I mean, the good old days, man. I do want to like go to dinner with your father and just be there because I would commiserate with him. Like I'd be the one person going, "You are so right, Bill." You know what?
You yell at that person.
You are so right. That guy deserves it. And he should go home. You know what? He should never come back, that guy.
It would switch off. It would be like, I yelled last time. It's your turn.
It's fine. I'm taking tonight off for me. I'm not yelling at our servers.
I mean, he's a guy that gets angry a lot who likes Star Trek. I mean, he's the man I should have been living with.
Also, I remember one time, I was also on that first trip. My wife, it's amazing that she decided, like, okay, this is a family I want to be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was so upset that he just needs, like, 45 million napkins at the table. Like, I don't know why.
Oh, boy, I'm the same way. Oh, man.
But, like, so this one place was not, they gave us, you know, maybe two napkins a person. They're really just, you know, shorting us.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked a couple of times, and they, you know, it's probably low on the priority of a waiter or a waitress if the restaurant's busy. They'll go find a napkin for this crazy old man. But so he finally just gets up and goes to like the busing section. And like where all like the napkins are, and just starts taking them.
Love this.
Comes back with a giant stack.
Love this.
Of napkins.
I hated when people did that.
Oh, you're not my father then.
Or the silverware. They take their own silverware.
Oh, yeah, you do that too.
Well, remember, Sarah, you better get your napkin to my table.
Remember when we had to pour our own water at that one establishment in Atlanta because we couldn't get water?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was fun.
The thing I hated, though, like going back to this taking the silverware off the tables, is when people would seat themselves, like, okay, well, you have to go to the hostess stand, and then complain that they sat at a dirty table and that it wasn't clean. It's like, can you clean this? It's not clean. It's like, you sat yourself. You're not supposed to sit yourself. Oh, yeah, right away.
Tell us how you really feel, Vicky.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
man.
I need silverware, and then they just grab it anyways. I'm like,
okay, so what I want is I want to be able to go to a restaurant that Vicky's working at
with my father.
Steve's dad. Yeah. Yep.
And your daughter's also working there.
Oh, I have to be nice. I can't be mean to my own daughter.
Oh, but my dad doesn't have to be nice.
Yeah, but I don't want to expose her to that either. It's only
yeah,
you know,
just me. You won't expose me. That's
well,
fine.
There you go. You know what, Vicky?
You called it. Well, that's good to know because I'm the only one of your adopted kids here that feeds you candy and will take care of you.
That is true.
Yeah, I'm going to be changing your diapers, old man. Be nice.
That is a good point.
Yeah, your son's not gonna.
No.
No. He's going to be raiding the bank account. He's going to be raiding the bank account is what he's going to be doing. All right, we have a question. What do you think was picked as the top music moment that people wish they could have seen live? I'll tell you, we made the list at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. There was a recent poll. People were asked this. What was that one music moment that they wish they could have seen live? And I've got the top 10 answers from these folks.
I've got a lot, man.
Same.
And, dude, like we mentioned on the tease when you said it, my buddy Craig Prober, who I'm music nerd with, like, we went to the Pearl Jam show. It's just awesome, dude. And we're just going back and forth on text. Just starting, and I'm like, that's on my list, too. Like, something as, like, Pearl Jam's Even Flow, the performance that led to the Even Flow music video.
Oh, yeah.
Where I think. I mean, that one, there's just so many, man. There's just Guns N' Roses at the Ritz. I don't know if you guys remember. That was a Headbangers Ball special. It's on YouTube. You can find it. It's like Guns N' Roses right before they became the biggest band in the world. And they just had that gritty, we don't give an F attitude on stage. And it showed. And it's such an incredible performance. It's on YouTube. I highly recommend if you're a GNR fan, if you've never seen their Headbangers Ball performance at the Ritz, it's worth like 40 minutes of your time. Mm.
Yeah, some of these I think are going to be surprising.
Chumbawamba.
But I can understand it.
Chumbawamba. Any Chumbawamba performance.
Yeah. Did they ever do a live show?
I don't know.
I will tell you this. What's surprising is there are a lot of Super Bowl performances I'm seeing on this list.
Oh,
that's not fun.
Yeah, see, mine is going to be Billy Joe Armstrong freaking out at the...
One minute?
Yeah, 1 minute. The Justin
that would be
Bieber
awesome.
Concert. Whatever.
Yeah. Break. 1 minute left. 1 minute left. You're going to give me 1 minute?
Was that, that was like one of those like radio festivals, like, yeah, like a pop music festival, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was getting like told to like hurry up because I think Bieber was the next performer.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I've been around since 1988.
So that's at the top of the list, right?
I'm yeah.
Justin Bieber, you mother.
What a great meltdown.
So good.
I got 1 minute. 1 minute left. Oh, now I got nothing left. Joke.
Wasn't that what sent him to rehab?
Yeah.
He like, went afterwards, yeah.
He sent himself to rehab.
Yeah. I still have a conspiracy theory about that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Do you think he was just hanging out with Kanye and Taylor Swift in a secret room?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's my conspiracy.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. They're friends, actually, and they just created this enemy thing. That's a whole other story. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Going on that conspiracy.
That's fantastic. Well, the number one thing on the list is Whitney Houston singing the Star Spangled Banner at Super Bowl 25 in 1991.
I'm sure that was cool.
I've actually recently gone back and watched that because TikTok and there were some videos about it. It's really amazing.
I mean, she nailed it.
Like, it's insanely good how well that was done. But also, I don't know if I want to go back and see it.
I mean, wouldn't you go with the nipple gate if you're going to go back to a musical performance at a Super Bowl? Wouldn't you want to just see that?
That would be amazing to see as well. I'm with you. Yeah.
I mean, that to me, that's the most infamous moment, and it's an iconic moment.
Yeah, it is. Again, I don't know who they talk to, Steve, if they on this list. There's a lot of Super Bowl stuff that's in here, which I don't know. I mean, is that the best performances of any of the people that have performed at the Super Bowl? Is it because it's so over the top? Or I mean, I just would imagine whoever performs at the Super Bowl has had a better live performance somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know.
In their career.
I don't. I mean, it's a great vocal performance. So it's timeless. So I can.
Well, Star Spangled Banner. I get Star Spangled Banner because that's something you only perform at a Super Bowl. But the rest of these are just a lot of these other ones on this list are their halftime show performances, which basically is their songs. And so that's where I'm going with that. Is like, for instance, let's see, where the number five is Prince's Rainy halftime show at Super Bowl 41 back in 07.
That was pretty badass. I mean, I'm not a huge Prince fan, but I remember watching that and being like, this is pretty fun. Because it's like the greatest hits. It's a short, condensed thing. You know which one I would put on this list?
Yeah.
And I doubt it's on it, but because it's super local. And I'm saying Led Zeppelin, even though they're not a local band. But I don't know if you've ever seen that picture that's out there of Led Zeppelin performing at Green Lake, like on the water. Like they're on this little stage. And it's like a tiny little amphitheater.
I haven't seen that picture.
Yeah. Oh, Vicky, if you can find it. I don't know what year it was. I think it was like in like the 60s.
Led Zeppelin performing at Green Lake?
At
really?
Green Lake. And
wow.
In front of them are not like concert goers. It's water. So like they're like on this little stage. It's almost like an island on Green Lake. And then people are watching from like the stands.
Oh, that's really cool.
1969.
Nice.
Wow.
I would love to have been there for that.
Wow.
Man, hey, you're seeing Zeppelin in the late 60s, so I mean, they're just going to sound phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you're watching them perform outdoors at Green Lake.
Yeah. Wow, that is wild to think that a band that huge performed at Green Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't imagine anybody performing at Green Lake that's at that level.
No, they need to bring back concerts at Green Lake just for that reason.
Yeah, right?
Dude, I like the idea how this it was in the middle of the lake.
Yeah, it's a very weird setup. I mean, I guess
like
if you want
to set up.
Instead of stage diving, you're just diving into water.
Literally stage diving.
Yeah. Well, Steve, you've always wanted a moat around your home, and now you can you get a moat around your performance.
You go. That performance setup was really cool.
Yeah,
that they
is
had
really
at Green
cool.
Lake with the
number
stands.
Number two on this list, and you know, again, it's going to be nobody. I mean, look, the guy is a legendary performer, but it's just not, you know, completely in our wheelhouse. Elton John's performance of "Candle in the Wind" at Princess Diana's funeral. I mean, that is an amazingly iconic moment.
I don't want to go to a funeral.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, it'll be an amazing performance, but also the biggest downer possible. Like,
but it's a royal funeral, you know. I mean, it's a little different than a regular funeral.
If he did Crocodile Rock there, I'd be in.
Oh, yeah, that would be great to do at a royal funeral, Crocodile Rock.
You know what, actually,
Rock.
Yeah, if he did that, I would absolutely go.
Oh, man.
Is Queen on here? Was the Live Aid set?
Not in the top 10, unfortunately, no.
Wow. How? Yeah. The whole movie that was a huge hit, like centered around that moment was such a big part of the film. You would think people would be like, I wish I was there to see that live. I remember watching it as a kid on TV, and it was pretty awesome. I was like, at that time, I didn't appreciate what Queen was, but like, you could tell that there was something cool going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one. Seeing Limp Bizkit at Woodstock 99.
Oh, dude.
Doing the crowd surfing. Yeah.
When he was on that wood board.
Yes.
And, dude, I would even go one step further. Nine Inch Nails at that Woodstock. The first, when they brought back Woodstock and they performed and it was a mud pit.
Yeah. Raining.
And so the band just doused themselves in mud and performed their entire set full on, like, covered in mud. And they just killed it. It was the same year that Green Day did it, and people were throwing mud at them on stage.
Like, actual clumps of, like, lawn at them.
Yeah, and BJ. Billy Joe, same thing, ate the grass, right? Or something. Like, he grabbed it.
He grabbed the mud and put it in his mouth. Yeah. It was pretty awesome, dude.
That was another moment that might have got him to rehab. You guys are close. It wasn't Woodstock 99, but in this list, it's Woodstock 69, the original.
Yeah, that makes sense. Even being able to see, like, Hendrix finish it out and all that stuff, too.
Even though people said it was miserable. But then again, you either massively destroyed, you had the wrong pills. You know?
Oh, I would have taken the brown acid.
Oh, yeah, don't eat the brown acid.
I probably would have.
Yeah, but from what I understand, it was a mess. And you know, I know a couple of people that were actually there. And it was, you know, not as glamorous as you would think. I mean, you know, unless you were really, really just destroyed.
Someone said that it was the Aqua Theater. That was what it was called at Green Lake. It was a major venue back in the day.
Makes sense.
Aqua Theater. Man, I can't believe it's gone.
That would have been cool to see some shows there. You know what's also a good one? It was at the Pier. And it was Nirvana, and I think it was a special for like MTV's New Year's Loud or some kind of like New Year's special. And it was right when they put out the In Utero record. And the performance, I remember watching it on TV, wishing I was living in. That was like one of the main reasons that made me want to move to Seattle to just be, hopefully one day, be able to be a part of something as epic as that. And it was.
I'm sorry, Steve, not on the list. Not in the top 10.
Is garbage.
It's
funny because mine's actually Nirvana too, but I want to see the Unplugged show.
Oh, crap. Like, that'd be good too.
Something about, you know, having an intimate show when it's like not a whole lot of people. It feels that much more special. Like, yeah, going to concerts is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But I watched that performance, and I just wish I wasn't 3 years old when that happened.
But I mean, then there's the Alice in Chains Unplugged, which is haunting. And then also the Pearl Jam one, a little bit different, like not as dark, but still awesome.
I'm sorry, all of you, but none of those are on the list.
This is just pure and utter nonsense, BJ.
Yeah. How about the Beatles' rooftop and final concert back again in 1969? 69 definitely is a big year on this list, by the way.
Ooh, how about this texture says Metallica, the James Hetfield fire concert where he got lit up in flames and they had to stop and then Guns N' Roses didn't show up or didn't perform and then a riot. And I think that happened in Montreal.
Do I want to be there for that concert, though, where there's, like, you know, riot and head on fire?
Well, if you know there's a riot ahead of time, you can put on your riot gear.
I thought about that. Good call.
True.
All right, so you weren't impressed by the Beatles in their final performance. How about the Rolling Stones performing in Hyde Park again in 1969?
You know, I'm not a huge Rolling Stones fan.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day...
I'd rather see The Who at their prime than Rolling Stones at their prime.
Good call. Well, you can't argue The Who. I mean, they're both great bands, but I see what you mean. The Who does seem to be a little bit more rock and roll, whereas the Stones were rock. I mean, but they were popular rock. Like, their songs were like, they had hit sounds to them.
They felt safe compared to The Who. The Who seemed dangerous.
Like, yeah,
I watched footage back, I mean, there's one concert which I had the DVD and I would watch it all the time because it was such an epic performance. It was The Who at the Isle of Wight, I think, W-I-G-H-T, if I remember, or Wright, W-R-I, I can't remember, but it's some big concert festival that happened, and The Who played there once, probably multiple times, but this one time they made it into a DVD and there was so much tension on the stage. At one point, Keith Moon does something silly on the drums and Pete Townsend just walks over and pretty much bitch slaps him. Like, he just punches him. And then they start the next song. Like, okay, this is just something that happens. This is the dynamic. At some point, Keith's going to piss off Pete. Pete's going to punch him, and then we're going to go into our next song.
Yeah, man, there was definitely like an angry danger to The Who where there was a sexy danger to the Stones. They were always pushing the sexual envelope, I think, with the how they be, their album covers and just the stuff they talked about, you know, whereas the Who, you know, we're going to go take a leak on this wall. You know, that's what they were about. They were rebellious.
They're going to break the guitars. They're going to cause chaos on stage. Like, that to me would be a fun concert to be at.
Yeah. Well, the Who not on here, the Stones on here. And we told you about Prince number being number five. Number six, another Super Bowl show. This was the halftime show at Super Bowl 54, which was in 2020. And that is Shakira and J-Lo. People said they wanted to be there for that.
I mean, I could watch it on TV, so it's still very nice.
That's the thing.
And you can pause it.
And HD.
Here's the problem. You're at a Super Bowl show. You're at a giant stadium. What kind of visual do you really have? I mean, you get all the cool light shows, but can you really see them unless you are, like, right on the field?
We went to the Super Bowl in Phoenix when, sadly, the Hawks didn't win. But, you know, Katy Perry was the halftime entertainment. It was fine.
Oh, yeah.
And it was cool. Like, it was visually kind of a cool moment. But, like, I don't look back on... Man, I'm so glad we got to witness a Katy Perry halftime show. You know,
yeah,
it's cool to be there, but really, that's not the big. I'm not going to look back fondly.
What about the what about the Lady Gaga halftime show at Super Bowl 51 in 2017? That's number eight on this list.
I forgot she did one.
Yeah, she did.
I don't remember that one, to be honest. I mean, I know I remember her doing it.
That's the one that she like jumped off the roof, and everyone thought it was real.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, like, yeah, she started it out, and she jumped off the... But then she just, like, was ziplined in, basically.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
I love any Doors concert. Especially, the one where he whips out his willy.
Whoa, why would you want to see that?
Because it was, like, a moment that was, like, immortalized in the movie. The cops came and arrested him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's just... I don't want to see Jim Morrison's willy. I just, you know... Okay. I don't need to see the lizards... The lizard.
Yeah.
But the chaos that ensued because of it would be cool.
Yeah. How about this? I mean, this one here deserves to be on the list. The Spice Girls reuniting at the 2012 Summer Olympics.
Duh. I mean, come on, guys. That's the first one.
That's right. You know, I would want to be like, I mean, why would not the Spice Girls at the like the height of their popularity? The reuniting at the that's even more than people want to be. Maybe because it's the Summer Olympics. I don't know. This list is a little, I guess they asked everybody and not everybody's a rock fan.
See, I would have loved to have seen the Spice Girls, but when I was eight. Like, I think that's the best time. Like, when you fall in love with one of these bands, you want to see them, one, in their prime, and two, when you love them, like, the most. Like, I still like them, but it's not like I did when I was 8 years old.
I'm surprised this one's on the list, and not to humble brag, but I was there at the time that Christina Aguilera performed at a high school in town with 98 Degrees as her opener.
Ooh, 98 Degrees. That's number 11, Steve. It almost made the top 10.
I don't even remember what high school it was. It was like something like they won like some kind of contest like to raise the most amount of food for like some kind of charity, and she performed there at the height of like her first breaking big with Genie in a Bottle, and the record rep's like, hey, do you want to meet me at whatever insert high school here? I'm like, why? And no, and he goes, oh, it's because Christina Aguilera's going to perform here. I'm like, what time you need me there?
And nice. I'm on my way.
Nice. Oh yeah,
I can't remember what high school it was. Like she did a whole tour of high schools.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And the one performance that I think would be cool to see would be number seven, which is James Brown's performance at the Apollo in 63.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
that would seeing James Brown would be cool.
Totally.
Yeah, and the Apollo, of course, legendary. So that would be just, man, that would be awesome. It's been in the 60s. The trouble is that, I don't know how I would be received going in there because of all the troubles there were, but man, just the vibe and the feel would be amazing to be able to see
that. Man, I'm just, so now the wheels are spinning even more. Like seeing like the Ramones at CBGB's would be pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Like not in a specific show, but I imagine they play there a bunch of times. But, you know, to be able to see those kind of bands when they first started getting a name for themselves would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because I saw the Beach Boys later in their career, and it wasn't the cool Beach Boys that I knew, you know, back when they were really big and they were young. That, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know, and then they had like, you know, not all the Beach Boys, but they had, you know, they basically had Uncle Jesse,
a bunch of hired hands. I saw Brian Wilson do Pet Sounds, and it was with like the Wonderments, which was a really good band, but it wasn't the Beach Boys.
It was at the Puyallup Fair.
It wasn't anything like, oh my gosh, I'll never forget this.
Was it Inglemore High School?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Inglemore. Yes. Yeah, there you go.
I just found it.
Yeah.
They won a canned food drive.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Good for Inglemore, man.
It was so ridiculous. It was so awkward. But of course I'm going to do it for the story.
Of course you are.
Yeah, I'm going to go see. She wasn't very friendly. She wasn't a jerk, but she wasn't like, obviously, she's probably like, who is this man at a high school wanting to meet me?
I guess it's a little awkward.
I checked all the boxes of Creepazoid.
Yeah, you did.
It's like, sir, do you normally come to this high school? And why are you looking the way you look?
I hang here all the time. What a weird coincidence. You're performing.
All right. Hey, they keep getting younger and I stay the same or something like that. All right. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
What is the name of Google's mobile operating system?
Mobile. No, that's the name, Mobile.
Oh, no.
Google Mobile?
No.
Google Cell Phone?
No.
No, we were looking for Androids, dude.
That wasn't even close.
No, you really weren't. You want a shot at PDC, you got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 8:51 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 to 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.